The Natural Crew Podcast. To, as that robot voice says, the Natural Crit Podcast, and thank you for boldly listening. What are we even talking about? Well, this podcast series is my take on naturopathic medicine, an area I've been studying for about 20 years, including my time in so-called scientific, non-sectarian naturopathic medical school. My approach is a pairing of scientific skepticism and a deep knowledge of naturopathy's intimate details. In previous episodes of this series, I established that naturopathy is, essentially, a kind of knowledge blending, misrepresentation, and irrationality. I have termed naturopathy both an epistemic conflation, falsely posing itself as an epistemic delineation, and the naturopathological. The science exterior is mixed with what is scientific. Then, that whole muddle is absurdly claimed to be science as an entire category, while particular, sectarian, science-subjected oath obligations and requirements are coded or camouflaged, therein effectively disguising naturopathy's system of beliefs in public view. Naturopathy's ultimate achievement is a profound erosion of scientific integrity and freedom of belief, packaged in the marketing veneer natural, and improperly embedded in the academic category science. Episode synopsis. In this five-part Natural Crit Podcast episode 4, which I have titled, quote, The New York ANP, Their 2014 Bill Fabrication and Content History, unquote, after having spent about an hour in episode 3 on AANP Alliance Web and ND Pizzorno printed materials from the 1990s, I will quote from and comment upon the quite strategically selected language of the nascent New York Association of Naturopathic Physicians 2014 Naturopathy Licensure Bill, as informed through a recent fall 2013 New York ANP public webinar. What I seek to display, by way of this webinar example, is naturopathy's tendency to disguise its essence, a tendency that I'll term here fabrication. I will also compare this New York ANP bill language describing naturopathy to that of New York ANP principals, their alma maters, and those schools' state organizations. So, we'll jump from episode 3's naturopathy claims from about 20 years ago to the present January 2014 and near future, and do some language comparison based upon content history, or what I'll call an historical preponderance. And finally, since we are dealing with science and New York, I will cite from the Next Generation Science Standards by way of the National Academies Press, archived New York Academy of Sciences webpages, and a few other academic sources regarding the non-scientific status of naturopathy's essential, core, or defining vitalistic, supernatural, and teleological therapeutic obligations. Why? Because, interestingly enough, the primary regulator for the professions in New York is their .gov Department of Education. And based on how the NDs have worded their 2014 bill, with naturopathy labeled broadly as scientific and its specific contents mainly coded in language that doesn't clearly communicate the actual non-scientific obligations and activities that define naturopathy, New York State will be approving a law that allows the false labeling of what's non-scientific as scientific, quite in contradiction to preponderant science education academic standards. Yes, New York State's academic authority will place the state seal upon naturopathy's quite eventually obvious false categorizations. Much like the state of Oregon, we will then end up with endorsement of quite an unnecessary and unenforceable epistemic muddle that completely erodes consumer protection and completely betrays the public trust. This New York naturopathy licensure law will be a legal endorsement of the practice of pseudoscience, subterfuge, or opacity, and falsehood, and the perpetrators will be regulating themselves in partnership with the state of New York. I'll add this as an aside right now. Epistemic distinctions can be made. Philosophers of science seem to often run aground on the shoals of the demarcation problem, overemphasizing legitimate gray knowledge areas that I believe can exist, and therein surrendering to a kind of inappropriate epistemic nihilism, wherein all knowledge is then claimed, based on those narrow gray areas, to be indistinguishable. This strikes me as lazy thought. And need I mention Kitzmiller v. Dover and the distinctions that were made therein? I've thought about this a lot, and what I use right now is this example. There are distinctions to be made between science and abject non-science, just as we can starkly distinguish between midday and midnight. There are also knowledge vagaries of a kind that exist much like twilight, or specifically demarcating an exact end or beginning to night and day, or what will temporally endure scientific scrutiny and what will not. But just because both areas exist, the stark and the vague, science now and the no longer scientific, that doesn't make knowledge, with one lazy brushstroke, all the same, vague and indeterminable. It doesn't strike me as rational to argue that just because the narrow borders of a largely distinct scientific area are ambiguous or in flux, that then all areas in question, internal and external, to that largely distinct scientific area are therein ambiguous. We can exert some honest mental muscle and be more, shall I say, granular and analytical than that. Otherwise, like I said, we succumb to a kind of epistemic nihilism. The overarching question for this episode 4 is, quote, will New York A&P naturopathy accurately define and locate itself for the public and legislators in the New York State licensure bill that they are drafting for 2014, along the lines of its illegitimate informed consent and actual non-fiduciary status and inauthentic epistemic categorization, unquote. Teaser. By the way, my next episode of this podcast, episode 5, will deal with part of the rich vein of naturopathic current and historical preponderance that exists across the northern international border of the U.S. and my home state of New York. The naturopathic shenanigans in Ontario, Canada, where naturopaths have been regulated since 1925. There are over 1,200 NDs on the Ontario Naturopathy Register. This has rather randomly come about as an episode topic. In the New York A&P webinar I will use for this current episode 4, we're told, quote, in New York State, a naturopathic doctor will be, in the proposed law, prohibited from performing acupuncture, unquote. In Ontario, NDs can practice acupuncture without a separate acupuncture license. So I was reminded of how the webpages of NDs up there, which I have read for years, and some of which I do use in this episode 4, with acupuncture and TCM in their scope, reveals so much in terms of naturopathy's essential, so often hidden beliefs, and therapeutic goals. Vimeo and the webinar. New York AMP's Vimeo account and membership. The Vimeo account of the New York AMP, where I accessed the webinar, appears to be about 1 year old based upon the timestamp of their first video upload. The account has a total of 8 videos as of December 2013. Incidentally, the content at Vimeo.com is not only public, you can directly download Vimeo videos quite easily. 3NDs feature prominently in these 8 videos. Brinkman of NCNM, the current New York ANP president. Coda of Bastyr, who is also a lawyer and the 2014 bill's architect. And Wilson of Bastyr, the current legislative chair and past New York ANP president. Rounding out the New York ANP are these NDs listed as their current board of directors. Bongiorno of Bastyr, the vice president. Heary of NCNM, the treasurer. Pimentel Selassie of Bastyr, the secretary. Diadamo of Bastyr. And Mittman of NCNM. The New York ANP membership list, which is a little padded by way of repetitions and maiden, married, surname, redundant entries, also includes these NDs. Bleakney or Hanlon of UBCNM, Brannan of Bastyr, Brodsky of CCNM, Egenberger of CCNM, Finker of SCNM, Francis of Bastyr, Hoffman of Bastyr, Kerwin of UBCNM, Kushner of SCNM, Lo Guidice of Bastyr, Lord of BINM, Neninger of NCNM, Prego of Bastyr, Subert of SCNM, Van Couvering of NCNM, Weigel of SCNM, Williams of Bastyr. I will later cite from the webpages of some of these practitioners, their alma maters, and their state organizations. Of all the NDs I've just mentioned, ND Mittman is quite supreme in the naturopathic organization's hierarchy. He is the president of the AANP-CAND North American School Consortia, the AANMC, as well as president of SCNM. Mittman has published some very special stuff that is very specially illuminating in terms of the essentially naturopathic that I will make sure I get into. The New York AMP Vimeo webinar video overview. The webinar itself is the video titled, quote, Bill Language Webinar, Large 540p, unquote, and it has been up on the New York AMP Vimeo account for about 3 months as of December 2013. Andy Cota is the centerpiece in the video as the bill architect and what I'll call the language selector. Also in the webinar is ND Brinkman, who serves as a host. ND Brinkman explains, quote, Welcome, New York NDs. This is Dr. Rick Brinkman on behalf of the New York ANP Board. And this is a legislative update, a crucial webinar to get your feedback about the proposed law. Helping us do that is Stephen Coda, who is a naturopathic doctor and an attorney, who in Washington State was a past board member and treasurer of the Washington Association of Naturopathic Physicians, a state where he also maintained a health practice, but now apparently he is solely in New York practicing law as a patent litigator and prosecutor. He has helped draft the changes to the second round of the proposed licensing bill. Steve wasn't a member of the New York ANP for the 2012 first round, and now is. He has put in quite an amount of hours going through this, making numerous presentations to the board. You did a great job here, unquote. And Dakota states, quote, It definitely was time to step up and contribute what skills I have beyond the skills of a naturopathic doctor to make a difference, unquote. I pulled out those excerpts as a general introduction to the theme of the webinar. Licensure, by way of an ND, writing the proposed law's language, and the language very much pleasing the president of the New York AANP AANMC type naturopaths. Now, the 2012 New York AANP licensure effort failed, and oddly enough, ND Coda then was one of the NDs that objected to the proposed law. There was quite a lot of infighting amongst the New York naturopaths in that first round, and I must admit that I too contacted the central sponsoring legislator to voice my opinion. In the past, I have also shared material from my experience of naturopathic school miseducation in Connecticut and from my further research with the New York Attorney General's office, particularly because it is New York State Higher Education Services Corporation, or some New York State .gov entity like that, which holds my consolidated student loan aggregate from my graduate studies. I suppose it is ironic that my college and university studies have led me, in sum, to a position of critical analysis of naturopathy, which is an activity I regard as an academic and ethical duty. And it is in no way ironic that the student loan bills that I've amassed on this journey into monstrous falsehood, well, I'll be paying towards those for the rest of my life, and I will not even dent them. The lessons we learn, the monsters we meet. I plan in 2014 to do another round of such sharing with the people in New York. By the way, to point out, as the introduction to this podcast states, naturopathy's, quote, misrepresentation and irrationality, unquote, though this licensed falsehood and pseudoscience likely will simply just march on. Language and historical preponderance. I thought it would be interesting to first visit the previous language used to describe naturopathy that can be found at ND Coda's own practice page, at WANP, and at the AANP. What's claimed and what has been omitted? My first example of historical language preponderance is ND Coda's own practice page. These pages are apparently no longer live online, but they are archived. Archive.org indexes vsnaturopathy.com from 2005 until 2013. What's claimed? Science broadly. ND Coda's 2006 and 2012 archived page, quote, 20 questions about naturopathy, unquote, states, quote, is naturopathic medicine scientific? Yes. Many of the individual therapies of naturopathic medical practice have been scientifically validated, including homeopathy. And ND Coda writes of state-of-the-art, double-blind, and placebo-controlled studies published in peer-reviewed scientific journals, unquote. I think that can be taken as a categorical yes, or what I often call the science subset naturopathy claim, that pretense of being scientific. Now, we're also told, quote, naturopathic physicians use therapies according to the naturopathic principles. This is a philosophical approach, using treatments that work in alliance with the natural healing mechanisms of the body, unquote. It is not, in my view, strange to expect, then, that naturopathy's principles and treatments should be science-supported, since we have been told categorically or broadly, quote, scientific, yes, unquote. In the 2006 archived page, quote, our services, unquote, we're told, quote, patient diagnosis and assessment is consistent with the principles of naturopathic medicine, unquote. In the 2006 archived, quote, VS Flyer, unquote, which is a PDF snail mail kind of brochure, we're told, quote, naturopathy is a distinct system, unquote. The previously cited page, quote, 20 questions about naturopathy, unquote, also called naturopathy, quote, a distinct American medical profession. And also stated, the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians supports legislation to license NDs in all states in order to distinguish properly trained physicians from the lesser trained individuals who may present a danger to the public, unquote. A distinct and distinguishing proper scientific profession. And we're also told from that flyer PDF, quote, products distributed from the premises are distributed under prescription and include nutritional supplements, botanical medicines, homeopathic remedies, and glandular extracts. Our treatment modalities are modalities consistent with the principles of naturopathic medicine, and they include homeopathy, and also mentioned are bioenergetic techniques, unquote. Yes. So I'll again say one would feel reasonably led to believe that it would be quite distinctly true to think that naturopathy's principles and treatments would be properly scientific, since we have been told, quote, scientific, yes, unquote, and, quote, distinct, unquote. And we're also told by Endicota on that page, quote, one of the naturopathic principles is to treat the whole person. We recognize that you are body, mind, and soul, unquote. Now, a soul is a supernatural article of faith and not a science-supported claim. As I've said in the past, I'm all for freedom of belief because it is a fundamental human right. But science, patently, does not contain the supernatural. Calling the supernatural scientific is worse than calling iron ore a fruit just because it is colorful. What's omitted? Vitalism non-science. And finally, we're told from that same flyer page, quote, another naturopathic principle is that we recognize your innate self-healing ability, unquote. Oh, the luring by way of coding or omitting that naturopathic core, vitalism, that callousness concerning consent. Even with Endicota's 2011 archived page, quote, therapeutic order, unquote, we're not clearly told about that vitalistic therapeutic goal. All we're told is, quote, goal number two, stimulate and support the self-healing processes with such things as classical or elemental homeopathy, unquote. We're not told transparently that self-healing processes is vital force, even though a vital force as a therapeutic goal is mentioned explicitly in the official therapeutic order in naturopathy's central textbook as, quote, the vis medicatrix naturae, which is the vital force, which is the healing power of nature, unquote. And even in Endicota's 2010 archived page, quote, principles of naturopathic medicine, unquote, we're only told, quote, the principles of naturopathic medicine are part of what distinguishes the naturopathic approach to healthcare from the conventional approach and are based on objective observation of the nature of health and disease. The following principles are the foundation of naturopathic medical practice. Number one, the healing power of nature, vis medicatrix naturae. Naturopathic medicine recognizes an inherent self-healing process in the body that is ordered and intelligent. Naturopathic physicians act to identify and remove obstacles to recovery as well as to facilitate and augment this healing ability, unquote. We have a supposedly distinct and distinguishing system, supposedly talking about what distinguishes it, claiming that it is objective fact, yet the specific nature, excuse the pun, of that it is presented by Endicota in a veiled manner. Again, so much for informed consent. It, of course, is that vital force spirit figmentation that they believe runs physiology intelligently. As another chapter in that central textbook states, quote, the foundations of naturopathic medical philosophy are found in vitalism. Naturopathic medicine is grounded in vis medicatrix naturae. a belief in life's special quality, suggesting an organizing force that goes beyond what is possible from mere chemistry. Proponents of vitalism and naturopathic medicine have always understood that the healing power of nature is an inherent property of the living organism. Vis medicatrix naturae is the living organism's desire and ability to heal itself, unquote. That intelligent, goal-directed, desire aspect of vital force spirit figmentation is roughly known as teleology, by way of what's often called dualism, by the way. But in science, physiology is biochemistry, and is due to causes, not goals or desires. And in psychology, which is the science of mind, intelligence is a mental characteristic that emerges as the functioning of a rather complex brain. Oh, the indistinction between science and non-science, naturopathy's inane MOs of the camouflaged distinct and the distinctly blended. So, just to summarize Endicott's defining style from his recently defunct web pages describing naturopathy: claim science upon the veiled non-scientific and abjectly non-scientific. Also note that I'm not saying, as I emphasize in the podcast introduction, that all what naturopathy labels as science isn't science. The problem is that with abject non-science, also called science by naturopathy, institutionally on downwards to the individual ND, naturopathy's epistemic labels cannot be trusted, and therein one cannot consent in an informed manner. And I'm talking again about the stark. It's like equating taking an aspirin for a headache and hitting yourself over the head with a hammer for a headache as equally valid. There is some stark difference there. Or better yet, it's like saying an article of faith, which is a choice, as in a leap of faith in the absence of evidence, isn't that, but instead an objective scientific fact, which an article of faith or believing isn't, therein taking away a person's choice in terms of belief or non-belief. So what appears to have been taken away? Your right to know and your right to choose. Because we don't get to choose how the physical world really is when scientifically vetted and known, as we do get to choose what we believe or don't believe in terms of freedom of belief. If you are misled, though, what you do get to choose is instead an obligatory objective fact, well, that seems to be quite a violation of a basic human right, freedom of belief. It also seems dangerous to me to be unable or perhaps unwilling to discern the difference between what's a fact and what's a figmentation when it comes to the safety of the public who are looking towards NDs for rigorous scientific medical expertise. NDs, from what I see by way of their non-distinguishing and manipulative MO, wear the white lab coat of medical science and simultaneously the black vestment of the ministry. And in all that in some grayness, both the integrity of science and freedom of belief are quite harmed. And this is called being a, quote, properly trained physician, unquote, by the AANP, according to ND Cotus Page. Well, all that is not very proper or helpful, because overall, who has ever heard of a supposed professional who cannot be trusted? And trust them I would not. I'll be tabulating similar results from the examples I've used in this episode, and I will include that summarizing table in the transcript of this podcast at the NaturoCrit blog. This has been part one of this five-part episode 4. And this has been
the NaturoCrit podcast.